The following may contain NSFW content and is intended for mature audiences. Parental guidance is suggested.
You want to go with the good or with the bad? Because I have two things that are eating with me.
I always want good. Give me good. Maybe there won't be time for bad if I consume just good.
That's true. All right, so my masculinity was, I don't want to say it was challenged this week.
Yeah.
But it was certainly awoke to the frenzy of the young ladies in the office. So I observed, and I think this is very unique, Black came into the office and we went out for lunch. Now, before he came into the office, I was out, right? I was at some meeting, I was coming back, and then all of a sudden, me and my coworker would start getting these text messages. Oh my God, I didn't make a big deal about my friend coming over for lunch or whatever.
Right.
And they went crazy. Oh my God, why didn't you tell us Brian's friend is so hot? Why didn't Brian's friend say he's on fire? They went crazy.
Black?
Crazy.
I mean, no offense to Black, but Black?
No, he gets... No, women dig him. I've told you this before. And out of the 4.5 years that I've been in the office, I have never seen the girls in the office react to a guy the way that they reacted to him.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, I mean, a good enough looking guy, but I can't see a room full of 8 women or 4 or whatever all getting wet. That's weird to me.
Well,
but maybe I don't understand women.
But anyway, it was crazy. So they're going nuts via text, like just sending these messages going back and forth.
Good for him.
Even at the end, so then he meets everyone, and then we go out to lunch, and then when we come back from lunch, like while he was in the office, like chatting with everyone, even before we left, one of the girls, like while she was talking to him, like kicked open a drawer in her desk, like just when that kind of, and, like kind of got beat red like that. Like, just couldn't gather.
They're falling to pieces. Jesus.
Right. And even when they actually, while he stepped away to meet the owner of my firm to say hello for a minute, the other girls were like, I've already seen his wife. I creeped his wife online. Like, they went in like full bore.
I'm better looking than she is. He would totally be with me.
So they're like going full bore on all of this.
That's fucking weird, and, dude. Could you imagine if it was like, a woman stopped into the office. Imagine men. We would be ostracized. We would be pariahs if we went that fucking crazy, right?
If we went, yeah. Well, okay, so yes. That's exactly what I was thinking, because I was like, all right. Like, they were going bonkers. To the point where, actually, when I came back from the lunch, Brian came up to our floor, quickly go to the bathroom, come back, shook my hand goodbye. And as I came around the corner, one of the girls, there's like these little mini shelves by our cubicle, and she just kind of was like elbow up on it, just staring. And as I rounded the corner, all I heard her was, she just does this. He's beautiful.
What?
And then she just curls around and just sits down at her desk. Like, I've never.
Beautiful?
Like, yeah. It was like,
I know it sounds
intense.
Like I'm fucking jealous, but I don't understand is all it is.
Well, no, it was intense. So as I'm observing this, I'm thinking to myself, like you said, like, dudes could never do that in the office. If that got out, they'd be ostracized.
Totally. How weird would that be? I creeped her husband and I could totally beat him up.
Right, right. And so, they do this. And then I'm thinking to myself, like, women do, I think, do that more collectively, where they'll see a guy that they all kind of dive in on and collectively get all about.
You think that was like groupthink? Like somebody like led the charge? Is there an influencer who like led the charge there?
No. He just, I mean, I would say that the influencer was with me outside of the office, and she didn't give to my knowledge, she didn't give anything away like, oh, Brian's friend's coming over. I met him before. What do you see? Him? Good looking guy. Like, nothing like that. So she was, if there was an influencer there, the influencer was with me. So this was all like natural reaction. And it was just one of those things where it's almost like when, I think girls are more raised that way. Like, the first guy that they all like collectively. Like, they all pick one or two guys that they like from NSYNC or Backstreet Boys or One Direction or whatever it is.
Yeah, how else
dudes
can
don't
you
really do that?
Yeah, how else to explain the Kirk Cameron effect?
True. True.
He could probably still pull ass even after turning crazy, you know, god guy.
Yeah, yeah, lost his looks. Crazy god guy.
Wait, he lost his looks? I didn't know that.
He's kind of a weird-looking, muffin-looking guy.
Muffin?
Not weird-looking, but he's not like, you know, like Rob Lowe kept his looks, right?
Okay, so Kirk, well, that's what I will absolutely give Black, dude. Like, you know, like in shape, totally doesn't look like, you know, lower 40s or whatever he is.
True.
His own hair. Lots of it. It's still the original color, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You know,
a couple flecks of gray.
Yeah. So just enough to let you know that he, you know, that he's a mature man, but still youthful enough. So yeah, I mean, I can see why he would get noticed, but this fawning. I mean, does that bother you on any level? Because you started off saying that it challenged your masculinity.
Well, no, my masculinity became, the better way to say it is my masculinity became aware of the frenzy. I can't really complain. I've had, as you know, I've had a very good daddy track record at the office. So I can't complain. It's not like when you have your female coworkers, even if they're just doing it for fun, but they're regularly referring to you as daddy. 43 years of age, you can't complain.
No, that's unbelievable.
You got to say, now I refer to them as my babies, and they love it. Like, I can't complain.
But I got to be honest, like, that doesn't, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't feel like you could seal the deal the way that he could. It sounds like it would be a tip-in for him. And maybe I'm busting him out there. Like, maybe he's like, oh, Noonan, don't, was he doing his southern accent thing? Maybe that's it.
No.
Was he, like, kind of doing that?
No.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! I always give him, like, a Ross Perot affectation.
So do I, and he doesn't really have one, but
because
he's from Texas, we have to give it to him. No, you know, it was one of those things, like, it really wasn't a jealousy thing. Like, I was kind of happy for him. Like, it was kind of cool to see. And like I said, you know, I get my little daddy vibe going, so it's not like I go ignored. The ladies are more than fair to me at the office. But it was observing the, like, the group, like, kind of the group fawning. And I've seen them do that with other guys. Like, I saw Bobby downstairs at he was at the gym, and oh my God. And then the other ones will kind of contribute in a way where, like, I went up and then he walked me to the train station. You know, like, they do kind of that, like, step-by-step. I don't know what you would call it. Step-by-step admiration, step-by-step fawning, whatever it is. And I don't see dudes do that. Of course, there's no doubt that dudes are like, oh, Janice, she's the office hottie, or whatever. But you wouldn't have dudes going up to one another like, I saw Janice at the gym, and I got the exercise bike next to her.
Like, well,
you wouldn't see that.
Aren't we wired to be more competitive? So if nothing else, we would keep a poker face, keep our cards closer to the vest.
See, and that's the way I would think. Now, it was funny because I was like, all right, well, this is just a small sample size. And I reached out to, like, it was just funny. So I just went on Reddit and I just asked the question, like, just trying to, like, get other people's observations. And it was funny because then some women were like, oh, guys fawn all over women all the time, which they do. And it's hard to describe it, like, be accurate when you're typing it out.
Right.
Like, what you mean? And I'm not saying, like, dudes don't, like, lust for women. Of course they do. But where it's like that, there's almost kind of this, like, simultaneous, like, it's almost like they're talking about him like they would be going on a date with him. Like, just kind of like a step-by-step collective reaction, right? And I don't really see dudes doing that. However, one of the women on Reddit responded, and she was like, are you kidding me? The dudes at the office or the guys at my office. I don't think she said dudes. I think that's my thing. It's like, the guys in my office are total creeps. There's this one woman that they all lust over, and just last week, one of the guys brought her waffles in the morning.
What?
And I was like, fucking waffles? Like, I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, it's probably, you would assume, and I could be wrong, but you would assume that's the alpha male of the group, who's like, I'm going to do, all these dudes are sitting pecker in hand, I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah,
that.
Right.
So I'm going to bring her waffles in the morning.
Yeah, like, and I mean, that's forward. That's forward as fuck. Just to presumptively bring someone breakfast foods, that could break 1,000 times bad on you.
I see, that's the way I think too. And I didn't go back and ask if it was successful, because I always have this theory of why when men are creepy, and when I'm saying what I'm saying, I'm not saying it because I think women are creepy and men aren't creepy. Men are creepy as fuck. But my point is just observing the different reaction. That's all. Men are creepy as like all get out.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, like, people will point out, like, oh, that guy's creepy or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, you know why he's a creep? Because, like, 4 out of 10 times, his creepiness will work. I bet you 4 out of 10 times the waffle guy sealed the deal with waffles. But at the same time, I'm like, fucking waffles? In the middle of the office?
Yeah.
You showed up with fucking waffles?
Yeah, yeah,
it just
man.
Seems, like, so specific.
Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, like, they have a, you know, there's a cafeteria or whatever where I work. So I could see being like, hey, you know what, they got the French waffle guy or whatever, the Belgian waffle guy. Is there a French waffle? They got the Belgian waffle station up today. Do you want me to grab you some? I could see something like that occurring. But
would you bring waffles back? But you're also bringing waffles back for yourself.
Yes, presumably. But if there's no cafeteria and she didn't ask for it, that's fucking balls. That makes me want to try something like that. That's so quirky. Like, and because if it does break badly, you could just be like, oh, what a fucking great gag, right? Or whatever. It was just a goof, lady. I don't know.
Well, see, here's the thing. Stuttering John always said he had a move of when he went to a party. He would just ask a woman outright, hey, you want to go make out? And they would either agree to it or look at you like you were nuts. And then you're just like, ah, I'm just fucking around. And it's such an odd request that you can't really kind of deny it.
Yeah, but I could see them being like, what did you say? And then you have to repeat it. And it's, and it, there would require a little bit of salesmanship, right? I don't know. I don't think I would try that one. I would try the fucking Lego my egos first. If I were you, this is all a way for you to gauge what's going to work for Jones, right?
Right, right.
Because here's the thing: I have zero game, zero. Like it went from like a little bit of game to fucking zero in the last 12 months, precipitously through the floor, Jones.
Right.
Like I literally, okay, out of 1,000 people where I work, it's 40, 50, maybe even 60% female, and no signals, no signs, nothing for a year. It's bad. It's kind of got me down.
So would you have been, disturbed if you were in the office place, and let's say I showed up to the office, or our tech showed up to the office, and then all of a sudden the women were agog. A year after, you've gotten like no any kind of positive flicker at all. Would that have thrown you off?
Well, yeah, probably. I wouldn't even be able to recognize the signs anymore. Like that's how like flatline it is. So I'm quite happy for Black in this case. Even though I'm shocked, I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, no, he gets a positive reaction for sure, but I've just...
But, okay, so when you're out at a fucking, like, a concert or something, when you guys go to Evanston, to Space or something, like, are women, like, kind of flirting with him?
Yeah, I mean, he'll get positive reactions from women all the time. Yeah.
All the time.
It's regular. I mean, it wouldn't be surprising to me.
Wow.
Like, I've had my sister's friends meet him, like, one-off. And they would be like, oh, I really like, he's got a confidence to him. I like him, you know, or whatever. And they weren't necessarily flirting with him or going after him. But there was a comment about him made afterwards.
Wow, dude. Like, I mean, I offered to be your wingman the other night, dude, and I... You know, it's fine that you didn't take me up on it. I don't think I'd be a good wingman anyway. Or at least not the best one that you know. Why, you gotta put this to good use for you.
Well, it was funny, though, that night you were insisting, like, I'd be your best wingman. I'd be your best. Who's better than me?
And you were like, Black
would be. And then
you go
down the list, you were like, you did say, you were like, would Black be a better wingman? Would Bartek be a better wingman?
And you thought, yeah, Black would be, actually. See, I think that's the thing. You want somebody who's not going to diminish from you. I heard the weirdest thing a little while ago. Did you hear the Jerry Rice Hall of Fame wide receiver from the 49ers and I guess Raiders? Is that the only two teams?
Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, Seahawks. He's been crashing weddings like every weekend recently. Have you heard this?
I saw the headline, Jerry Rice Wedding Crasher.
Yeah, and like every now and then you hear of some celebrity who does it. I guess it's been like his thing that he's been doing like every weekend, showing up and making a big fucking disturbance at a wedding.
Why?
Exactly. Like, it's fucking bizarre, right? But honest to God, if he showed up at my wedding, I would be, you know, of course I'd be like, you're Jerry, you're at my wedding? I would make him fucking leave. Like, that's
would my... Would
you? Oh, absolutely. Could you imagine, dude, you do not upstage the fucking bride at her wedding.
Oh, yeah,
you just
really
do not. So if I saw a fucking celebrity, I would, of course, get your permission if you were the groom, but I would be like, I'm kicking him out. I'm getting that fucking guy out of here. So same thing with a wingman, dude. You don't want, you're the bride in this scenario, bro. You don't want to be upstaged by Black. You need somebody who's competent, confident, and competent, but is going to ultimately reflect well on you.
Well, he did the other night at the House of Blues when we went to go see Kasabian. He was wing manning it up. But, unfortunately, for the first time in like a year, I was more hammered than I had ever been in quite some time. It started like doing the head slump when I was trying to talk to someone. It wasn't good.
Yeah. And
it worked for a while.
And who got you drunk? He got you drunk. Bad wingman.
Well, I guess, but I didn't go in there with the expect. Don't you feel you have to let someone know that, okay, you're in wingman mode now? I never did do that.
Well, I mean, if you're Jones,
because it could just be a night of hanging out and drinking.
All of your friends are fucking married, and all of a sudden you're chatting up women. Obviously, you're the dude who's on center stage. We're trying to get you laid at that point.
So yeah, fuck him.
Yeah, no, he fucking shit the bed there. I absolutely would be the best wingman for you.
All right, well,
why don't we put this to the test? Why don't we put it to the test? Head to head, mano a mano. Two wingmen enter, one wingman leave.
Right. We even do it on the same night. Like, you flip a coin and you get the hours. One guy gets the hours between 8 to 10 and another guy gets the hours between 10 to 12. Or 10 to 12 and 12 to 2.
Yeah, I want the same time period, but you're right. Everything else the same. We have to control here. So same establishment, same outfits, everything.
But wait, you guys have to be dressed the same?
We have to dress the same. We have to, in fact, in each other's clothes. No, I mean, just whatever we're wearing, it's, you know, or whatever, like same level of dress, the whole nine. And the same time period, because it's probably easier to get laid between midnight and 2.
No, I know. That would be the more valuable slot. You know what would be probably the most valuable tactic? would be to have both of you dress the same, same location, and being my wingman at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's, you know.
It would be so strange. It would be, isn't it, what is that called? Was that a pattern interrupt?
Yeah, if we... Yeah, it just, it wouldn't work. It's just, there's three of us, then it becomes a group. It's like, no, two, it's, I think it's much easier. It's going to be much easier to seal the deal. Now, here's the thing. You have to be willing to seal the deal. I've never known you to be a deal sealer.
Yeah, not really.
I mean, that's the thing. Watch. Black and I both, we destroy our lives, our marriages, and we both get laid. Jones goes home alone.
That'd be hilarious.
Even I get laid, and I'm like, I didn't expect that to happen. No one's talked to me in years unless they were selling me something behind a counter.
Right, right.
All right, so these creepy broads in your office, how horny are they? Like, what's their deal? That somebody walks in and they, like, what is this, like, it's like they're watching The Bachelor together.
Well, they do watch The Bachelor together all the time. So it was almost like living bachelor just walked into the office.
Yeah, so maybe they watch it too much.
I do think they watch it too much. I don't know. I wouldn't say they watch it too much because they just, I guess, watch each episode. But, like, they are way the fuck into it. Like, way into it. To the point where they've, like, texted dudes from these shows. So,
wait, they've texted dudes from The Bachelor?
Yeah.
How?
And those, they'll reach out, or like, not I think it's been, I think it has been via text. Maybe it was just Twitter they were going back and forth, but then it would eventually get into where these dudes would be IMing. Like, oh, hey, I will be in town next weekend. Oh, Chicago's lovely this time of year.
What?
Seriously.
That's amazing. And I mean, have any of them slept with any bachelors?
No. It's just, it's a whole other level that, like, dudes don't get that women get. Like, so the other day, one of my female friends, young, attractive female friends, like, connected with me on Instagram. So I was quickly flipping through her pictures. And then there was, like, pictures of her, like, on the beach and then at Las Vegas or whatever. And there was a picture of her in her bikini in Las Vegas. And there were responses on her Instagram from, like, she did, like, hashtag Vegas or hashtag Vegas life or whatever. And somehow it got back to, like, these Vegas club promoters. And just openly on Instagram, they were like, hey, love to have you come by the club tonight. Just join the VIP, like, and not join, like, that to sign up or anything. Come here, we'll let you in, this VIP experience, we'll do all this, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's something, like, just a dude can't imagine. That you would just post your picture, and if the hashtag's right, and you look good in the picture, that all of a sudden these doors open for you.
Yeah, does she have, like, a million followers or something? I mean, is that what they're getting at?
No. She was an attractive woman in a bikini. So, and she was in Vegas.
Dang, girl.
She was on Instagram saying, I'm in Vegas. And these, somehow through the hashtags or whatever, it gets back to these club owners. And they were just like, hey, come by tonight. We'd love to have you come into the VIP lounge.
Right.
And, you know, enjoy the night.
Saying that wouldn't happen if Black, for example, were to do that? Because it sounds like he might fucking score some VIP tickets.
I don't think so.
Fuck, I want him to be my wingman.
Right. Be more effective than me.
And so did you tell him about them being all, like, you know, agog, as you say?
Oh, yeah, well, actually, one of the girls at work, when we went out to lunch, she went with us. And she was like, Can I tell him? And I was like, yeah, go ahead. I mean, I don't think he really cares. I think he thinks it's funny. It's flattering. So they did. No one really cared. I mean, it wasn't like there was anything crazy over the top taking place.
Well, right,
but at the same point, it was just like, it was weird to see a room light up like over a dude that you know and have known over half your life.
Right, yeah.
When
right.
by and large, we typically have younger people coming in to the office.
Right. Well,
so
right,
you would, that would make more sense.
Yeah, you may have actually done this with all of your daddy, you know, conditioning.
Maybe I did. I might have conditioned them.
You've ruined them. They can't even date 27-year-old guys. They're like, get out of here, child's play.
Right, yeah. I want my daddy.
Well, okay, so she's like, everybody in the office thinks you're super cute and would totally, you know, love to be with you. Like, how does she put it? And what's his reaction? What's his reaction?
He just smiled and laughed and thought it was funny, which makes girls dig him more.
Like, that's fucking wizard level coolness right there. To be, because
right.
I would be like, no way. You're right. Like, I would do the no way thing. He just like took it in stride, said thank you, ma'am, doffed his cowboy hat.
Yes.
Baby took the wheat out of his, you know, his teeth for a second. Said, "Well, thank you very kindly, ma'am."
Right.
Awesome. Now I'm starting to really dig this guy.
Yeah, it was just something that I observed. But it's interesting. Like, dudes don't do that. We don't do that same thing. And I know I got challenged online a little bit. Like, oh, guys do that all the time. But not the same way. Like, I get it, men are super creepy. And, like, I'm not going to deny that there aren't some out there that will go out and, you know, buy a young lady waffles. But I don't think, like, if one dude, like, really is crushing hard on some other woman, it just seems to me the other dudes are kind of, don't you let off the gas a little bit? Like, I don't know. I can't think of a time where there might be agreement among guys, like, yes, there is this one woman at the office that's ridiculously hot. We all agree she's hot, but not where it's like, I saw her, and then I went up, and she asked me how my weekend went, and I told her, and then she said, have a nice weekend, where it does seem to be the case where there's that, like, shared experience.
Yeah, it's
the ladies get all.
Yeah, what you're describing does feel like a live, like they all think that they're in The Bachelor sometimes.
Right,
and
okay.
And dudes don't have that same group mentality. And I contend if we were to, I could see it becoming a competitive thing. I just saw an accident. Oh, that's unfortunate.
See, and that's the thing, you mentioned competitive, and I think that's a key word. Because there's nothing competitive about the way they were reacting to each other. They were being very collective.
Yeah, right on, dude. I really, I could see men being competitive about it. And if they weren't going to be competitive about it, I could see them just keeping their cards close to the vest and keeping real quiet about it. Because right. you don't want to advertise that you are digging somebody and then have somebody else be the one that gets her. And then you're like, for example, Mark Cuban's talking about running for president, and it's like, no fucking way, because when you get fucking destroyed, then you're gonna make Trump look even better. Like, no way. If everybody who thinks Oprah or all these dudes are, I think Trump has fucking ruined it for people like that.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't think that any of these people... Oh, there may be some megalomaniac someday that tries it, but not soon, because they're not going to want to give Trump and Trump supporters, the MAGA hat crowd, they're not going to want to give them the satisfaction that they got dusted. They have to be positive that they were going to win. At least the nomination. Imagine if Cuban runs as a Democrat and gets, you know, he's pulling, you know, 10% of the vote. The humiliation to a guy like that.
Yeah, but who do you think, like, I don't know, like, as much as everybody hates Trump, I don't see anyone getting really pumped up for any Democrat.
Well, like, you know, put that aside, Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever the fuck. Like, okay, you know what? I could see it being a Stuttering John type scenario. Like, a Rock runs And if he gets fucking 8%, he's like, ah, I was just joking around. I'm the fucking Rock. Like, I want to be president. I was just kidding around. This was all a fucking goof. It's like a Joaquin Phoenix.
Cuban doing that, though.
Right. No. Somebody like that runs, you know, that's putting your balls on the line. And if they get, when they get smashed, now you just made Trump look like, you know, Johnny Big Balls. Who wants to be the guy that makes him look like that? So,
no one.
Same thing with dudes. I think, you know, either you're going to be super competitive on it or you're going to not say a word.
Right. So you would suggest that the waffle guy knew, I can close this woman out with some waffles.
Yeah, that was his goal, but he was doing the stuttering John. He was like, oh, if it breaks bad or
yeah,
people notice,
so
yeah, I'm bringing her fucking Belgian waffles. How ridiculous. Who woos with waffles?
See, and then when I heard the waffle thing, I was like, why wouldn't you just say, hey, I'm going downstairs to get some coffee. Do you want me to get you some? And then when you get it, then you don't make her pay like, I got it, blah, blah, blah. But that's so tope.
Now, you know what you do then? You go, no, I got it this time. But on Saturday morning, I want to meet you for breakfast, just me and you, and you can pick up the tab then. Like, that would be fucking Brian Black wizard level cool right there.
I don't know. That didn't feel very cool to me. It didn't, just as he said it. Now, I have to be fair to you. You're not saying
I'm not cool.
it to me. No, you're not saying it to me in the way that I would, you know, I don't think you were romancing me, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I'm not wooing you with waffles. Now, they weren't soggy waffles, were they, that he brought her?
I don't know. I didn't have any further discussion.
Yeah, because, I mean, that would change the whole dynamic.
No, I think you have to. No, if you're going to make that move, I think it's got to be, like, from, you know, whatever top breakfast joint there is in the area.
Right, yeah, you never played soggy waffles as a kid, huh?
No.
That wasn't your thing in your hood?
No, it was not. I mean, I know you like to reference the soggy waffle, but
I never played. I've heard of it, though.
Right.
I'm not going to run from that fact.
Right. No, I have not played soggy waffle. But it was just, I don't know, it was just this thing that happened this week that I just observed and I found very interesting. You know, I was a little bit off by saying, like, initially hinting that I was threatened. I wasn't. But I, like, observed, like, oh, okay, that's pretty interesting. Like, it'd be kind of wimpy if I was, like, upset about it. Like I said, I've been treated quite fairly and not ostracized in my office space for being the older gentleman. So
I
complain too much.
So you said something good, something bad, something borrowed, something blue. What's the bad?
All right, so Las Vegas, man.
Oh, this?
I'm on this thing. I think I'm in the conspiracy crowd. Which I've been, that's not unusual. I have been before. I'm not one of these guys where you have these people that go crazy and go into every chat room and everything is there. Well, here's how it breaks down.
Right, right.
And then they try to break it down and it doesn't make sense, but I don't buy that this 64-year-old dude with no priors, no military history, like his family. I mean, didn't the brother, you've seen the brother.
Oh, my God. Did you see, I've seen both of his interviews. I think he's only done two. The second one was with CBS, or it was on CBS News' website. Today, there was a pool of reporters. I think he did it yesterday. I saw it today. It was 33 minutes. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, shit. Fucking crazy. The guy is going crazy. Angry, bragging, crying, you name it. All the emotions.
Okay,
saying the weirdest shit. The weirdest shit. But then also being like, my brother totally did this. Totally did it. A 100% guarantee he did it. And only he did it. It was fucking weird.
Then that's really weird. Because initially, when I saw all this, you know, I was like, his reaction seemed to be really genuine. Like, I believed him.
Right.
It wasn't like a no comment. He just couldn't compute what had happened. This isn't, you know, coming out and saying like, oh, he's a millionaire and he's not into politics and religion. I don't get it.
Right.
Like, I totally believed him. But now you're saying that the brother, why would he think that the brother totally did it?
Dude, on the 33 minutes, probably a third of the time he spent saying, this is not the guy that I know. This doesn't make any sense. And then the other right. two-thirds of the time being, like, totally owning it, being like, my brother was brilliant. He could do anything. People are saying that he, you know, where's the footage, which is what I've been saying. Where's the footage of him bringing 14 duffel bags full of guns up to his room? That's the thing about my brother. He wouldn't have. He would have flipped $100 to the bellhop and had him bring up. You're not going to find any footage because that's the way my brother rolled. He was rich. He was powerful. It was weird. Fucking really weird.
So do you think he did it?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. Did you see the shot supposedly of him, like, with the self-inflicted gunshot wound?
Yes.
I'm not saying, like, I don't believe that footage or that photo or whatever, but I thought that was interesting that they released that. Like, I'm still waiting for the Omar Mateen, was that his name? The guy who shot up the Pulse nightclub? I'm waiting for all of that stuff. Like, there's no footage, there's no photographs. A couple of months ago, there was, like, a New York Times article where they released some photos from inside the nightclub, but they kept saying most of it was just too graphic to release, and you know that my spidey senses go off yeah. when I hear that shit. So I'm glad that I'm already seeing supposedly a bloodied, you know, photo of the bloodied shooter. Now I guess they say that he recorded this whole rampage. So it's like, I want to see that fucking videotape by the weekend. Please. I want to hear him on the videotape being like, yeah, you know, mowing people down. I want him being like, I'm alone, I'm doing it, whatever the fuck. Because until I see and hear that, dude, I feel like there were more than one shooter. And then people go, well, why? Why would anyone want to do this? And it's like, well, money. There's so much money to be made from this whole environment of fear, this lockdown environment that we live in, that it makes perfect sense to me why a private group, a company, a government would want to do this? Absolutely.
Okay, so then you're saying, though, that a company did this or some other entity. You don't think that this one guy did it?
A shadowy cabal? No. I think that, you know, he may have been part of some larger plan. And again, that could be Antifa. It could be ISIS. It could be North Korea. I think it's interesting that his old lady's from the Philippines, because it's like, oh, okay. They've got a madman running the Philippines named Duarte, who hated Obama, used to call him like a monkey boy and shit, like crazy stuff. Then Trump comes in office. He's at first belligerent towards Trump. Then Trump and him start paling up, you know, to kind of combat China's influence in that region, you know, and also with this North Korea conflagration. And then recently, not recently, but like for years, they've had a militant Islam problem in the Philippines. ISIS supposedly has been taking hold there. And so I see that connection and I go, huh, I wonder if this guy, if this isn't some way, some ruse for us to connect some dots into the Philippines, and we're going to be ramping up the terrorism fight in the Philippines, and we're going to have troops on the ground there. Like, I'm just trying to reach for motives, but I could see all sorts of weird angles in this as to why some retired multimillionaire gambling accountant who lived in two towns named Mesquite, by the way, which is weird,
yeah,
who was the son of some FBI most wanted bank robber who worked for Lockheed Martin. You know, all these things, why he didn't do it on his own as one last act of craziness in a life that wasn't really marked by craziness ever up till this point.
Right. See, that's why, so you, when you sent me that video today, because for me, I always, like, it's not just when people point out, well, the gun's pointed the wrong way in that still photo, and how come we don't see this, you know, we don't see the fire, the muzzle fire coming out of the window or whatever. Like, I'm not so worried about details. I'm not saying they're not important. But, like, for me, it's like that cui bono, who benefits, or why would someone do it? In the same way, like, I'm not going to get into it now, but, you know, I think the mob killed Kennedy. And I think there was a reason for them to do that. And I feel I can put together puzzle pieces that say that. And with this, I was kind of like, okay, but why? Like, why would this dude up and do this? And then you start to wonder, like, well, okay, well, did he do it at all? Or how was he roped into it? And then when you sent me that link that was pointing out, you know, there are other, you know, there are other groups, and people were going online previously and saying, hey, look for something to happen in Vegas, and there are these entities that are involved that are now going to start selling security equipment after this. And I saw those same groups, like, they're showing clips of them the next day, like, executives from these companies, like on Fox News Channel and other 24/7 news places, going, talking about how important it is to be secure. And it's like, whoa.
Well, you okay? Yeah, so back up. So again, the video I sent you was about supposedly on September 11th, somebody posted on 4chan, which is, right, again, like a weird, shadowy fucking website that seems to be like a tool of somebody out there to release information. It just every now and then crops up in the news. Oh, it was released on 4chan. Oh, it was discussed on 4chan. So it's 4chan to me, something's up with that too. But I mean, out of like fucking millions and billions of websites, we hear about 4chan quite a bit. So somebody put on 4chan on September 11th, hey, I feel sorry for you dumbos. So here's some info. You'll be hearing about Las Vegas. They want to, it's part of an operation that's intended to make highly secure places that are already highly secure, seem vulnerable, so that you'll see even more security in already highly secured places. And long walk is, you know, the video that I sent you, the long walk is that the theory is that former Homeland Security Director Michael Chertoff and his new company, which you pointed out, brilliant observation, also includes former CIA Director General Michael Hayden. And, you know, so those two dudes are involved. There's got to be, like, you know, 100 other former spooks and government, you know, lifers that were involved in the last couple of administrations. They have scanning technology that they're pushing, like, you know, metal detectors basically, but like the airport type scanners that they're pushing and selling and consulting on, and already they're being bandied about as being the recipients of contracts if and when this heightened security state comes into effect, where casinos and schools and universities and et cetera all look like the airport, look like the TSA lines at the airport.
Right. And see, so when I saw that video, it's like, oh, that fills in a lot of the blanks. That storyline would make perfect sense to me. And then when you see, like, the next day, there were, like, high-up principals in those companies that they were talking about who were making the rounds talking about, and then even the day after, you had like different politicians talking about, like, hey, I don't want to say this, and I know it's maybe too early to say it, though they'll go ahead and say it, we need to get used to the idea of giving up some of our civil liberties. Like, it was immediate.
Crazy.
Right away. And see, that, so then I go, okay, well, that seems to be a purpose that served in that, versus some 64-year-old dude with no priors. And the other thing that I thought was interesting was I saw the day before when they were talking to the brother, and he hadn't, I guess, gone as cuckoo as you say he has.
Although he was still pretty cuckoo in that first interview.
Well, I mean, I'm being fair to him that all of a sudden he was hit with the craziest news you could almost possibly hear.
Well, right. So you choose to walk out and have a fucking impromptu driveway press conference? Like, that was fucking crazy that you would even do that.
Yeah, but I don't know his situation. I don't know if they're just staying there all day, and then you just think, like, okay, I go out now, say something.
Maybe on day four or five, I would send out a family spokesperson or an attorney. Like, I don't know who this guy's attorney is, but he needs an attorney. It's like, you need to shut the fuck up, man, and stop talking.
Well, I would agree with that, but I could see where he just wouldn't have, like, a well-thought-out anticipated game plan for all this.
That wouldn't
make any sense. But the one thing I noticed is he said just the next day after this, he's like, he was just talking about his brother, how he knew him, and just saying, look, he was a gambler, he was a millionaire, he was an accountant, you know, he was someone who didn't take the best care of himself. He could have taken better care of himself. And that was just something that just stood out that he said that. And then when you're hearing from, like, all these gun experts saying, like, dude, to fire off the rounds that whoever fired this gun or these guns, you have to be physically strong, physically fit, because it's demanding. And just some soft 64-year-old dude that was noted by his own brother as being flabby.
Well,
he's not
and
be able to do it.
Well, and he addressed
and
that
then all
today.
Of a sudden he's a commando.
He addressed that in this new press conference where he says, you know, I heard that my brother used tripods. That's exactly what my brother would do. Because have you ever fired an automatic weapon? He asks the pool of reporters, and everyone's like, And he's like, and so then he tells them what it's like to fire an automatic weapon. It's like, what? It's like, shut up! What are you doing?
And no, I know.
And then he's like, you know, you have to be in incredible shape. It's very, very hard to fire an automatic weapon. It's fun, but it's hard. You know, he's saying the weirdest things. And he's like, so you have to use a tripod. My brother was brilliant. He absolutely would be smart enough to use a tripod. And it's like, man, I think you should go back into your house. You're not... Like, I think that'll be one of the next weird parts of the story where this guy, like, ends up dead. His brother ends up dead, and the story will be, well, he just couldn't handle the indignation. But I think somebody's going to whack him because he's too gabby, quite honestly.
That's interesting, man. Well, I don't know. I mean, well, even so, though, when you're talking about the tripod, like, if you've seen, like, YouTube videos, even when that tripod thing, and you have those, like, army dudes, and they're laying on the ground, and the gun is in a tripod, like, it's a really secure position. And it's still shaking those dudes. I can't imagine the dude had... Like, the tripod, they'd have to be standing. I don't know. I just don't see... It's just bizarre to me. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And you know what, though? I didn't think it made sense when they fucking sold me that Adam Lanza, you know, went Rambo in a... You know, even in a school, even with women and children, I never bought that guy was walking around like fucking Rambo. So I always have questions. And because you always have, when you always have questions like I do, then you're fucking wacko guy. So that's me, I guess, in this case. But yeah, like there's a lot of people who profit from situations like this. Like, I know that it's easy for people to say, oh, it's a gun grab. They want to get rid of the Second Amendment. It would be fucking impossible. Like, even if they wanted to tax the fuck out of me for having three guns, and I believe that will happen one day, like, it'll be, like, $3,000 a year in a tax per gun, and bullets will be taxed, and, you know, so even if they wanted to do that, there's, like, hundreds of millions of guns in this country. You're never going to get rid of all of them, so...
Right.
The people that want to do this kind of wacky shit are always going to be able to do it in this country, no matter how many scanners and all of that. But
well, and then you think, like, 3D printers, like, wouldn't you just be able to just make your own eventually?
Right. Well, right. So, like, great idea, Jones. I need to get myself one of those. So, I
didn't say that out loud.
I was thinking about it, like, okay, let's just say it was this wacky old accountant, right? Let's suspend disbelief and imagine the, you know, total fantasy land, unicorns and stuff. You know, let's just believe that it was the accountant. Like, I want to imagine the company that's selling, like, armed drones. Imagine that you're the city of Las Vegas or this concert promoter, C3. Yeah. Imagine you had an armed drone, dude, that could have fucking zeroed in on that window and neutralized the threat within a minute.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Concerts should have armed drones out there. But then you get into the, well, those things can be hacked. Imagine, like, the missiles get launched in the middle of fucking Lollapalooza. So the whole thing is one giant shit show. I see where there's money to be made, but I also see, like, a bleak future where, like, you know, whether it's shadowy cabals or private mercenaries or foreign governments or our own government, I just don't see this ever ending. And quite frankly, what are you going to do next year when Lalo rolls around? Are you going? Because imagine, I mean, that's a perfect location for something like this. There's buildings everywhere down there.
It is, but it is one of those, like, you can't live like that. I mean, you just can't.
All right, you know, man. That's fucking badass of you, man. Riot Fest, dude? I wasn't impressed this year, but Riot Fest, no tall buildings around Douglas Park.
Right, you're a little more comfortable.
Totally.
Isn't
it's going to be
funny?
Very hard.
How fucked up is that? That you are more comfortable to go down into that neighborhood and you're then versus going to Lollapalooza. You're more concerned now about being shot at Lollapalooza than instead of going to Douglas Park. Like, is that a turn of events or what?
No, I know. It's the whole world's on its ear, man.
Yes. Yes. People will now start venturing into impoverished communities because they have no tall buildings or whatever they have is burnt out.
Yeah, no. I still would go to Lala, but if I were ever inclined to go to something like that. But, like, you know, I mean, because, you know, they could spray the South Lot at Soldier from one of the high rises if they wanted to. The thing I don't get is if you're the, let's say this allegedly, the Chertoff group, you know, was behind this because they wanted to sell more, you know, infrastructure. Kind of like when the first Gulf War, I'm sorry, when the 2003 Gulf War started up. And everyone was saying that it was because Dick Cheney wanted Halliburton to get a bunch of contracts for the oil infrastructure. And that was the whole reason why they started this war. And so I was like, oh, okay, all right. So similarly, let's just say the Chertoff group wants to sell all these casinos and all these government buildings and buildings all around the country, these back splatter or back spatter or something like that, TSA style scanners.
Right.
When they install those at events and there's still wacky shit like this going on, doesn't that kind of, won't there ever be a point where we go, oh, so we totally gave up all these civil liberties, we totally gave up all of these rights, and the shit's still happening. Maybe
right,
we
right.
should just go back to how we were, the way we were. Won't there reach a tipping point like that? Or these guys don't care. They're like, hey, by that point, we'll have made like $50 trillion. And that's like 35 years from now. There may not even be United States then. We don't give a shit.
Right,
is that all
right.
this is?
Well, I think who's ever, if there's money to be made now, and there is, whoever is making it, they're not worried about the future. They're not worried. They're looking, they're solely probably a very humanistic approach. Get what you need to get and get out. That kind of thing. That's what I'm thinking.
Get in, get out.
Right.
Well, I mean, so if you're willing to have an open mind when it comes to, you know, Stephen Paddock Jones, would you at least have an open mind to other events that I've cast doubt on in the past?
Like what?
Well, for example, there's a theory that that the Pentagon had indicated on September 10th, 2001, that it was having an issue locating in an internal audit, like $2.1 trillion or something. And then the next day, September 11th happened, and then there was never a discussion about this $2 trillion ever again. You would think something like that would be fairly easy to corroborate, but I really can't. All I can do is point you to a lot of weird facts about 9/11, not the least of which was the Building 7 demolition. Yeah. That was never really explained anywhere to my satisfaction.
Right. I don't know. I never...
But even take the $2 trillion out. Let's say, you know, there's been speculation that there was, you know, money to be made on the world, the Trade Center buildings themselves and insurance money, that there were vaults in the basement, that there, you know, even just creating this hyper fearful environment has led to trillions of dollars in windfall for private and companies and governments and so forth.
Right. But like, for example, like take the Twin Towers being insured. Wasn't it the case where just one of them was insured? Like the value of just one tower was insured, so one other tower was a complete loss?
Yeah, now that I don't know. You would think 15 years on I would, but I don't.
Well, that's my understanding is that because the idea was there would never be a complete catastrophic collapse of both.
Right.
So they only ever really paid to cover for the loss of one.
But even that still, I think it was like a $3 billion payout or something.
Oh, I'm sure that it was. It's just the...
And I mean, if you're looking just to profit, like, you know, ordinarily you have insurance and your idea is, well, I want to make enough money so that I can replace the thing that got wrecked, the car, the house, whatever. But if you're not ever going to be rebuilding those buildings, that's $3 billion right in your pocket.
Right.
Right there is almost reason enough to do it. And, I mean, you watch any fucking two-bit crime show on NBC or something, not to pick on them, but, you know, whenever there's a murder, it's the husband or a spouse or a family member who's looked at first, and then the next thing they do is look for a motive, and it's usually money, and it's usually easily verifiable, you know, or traceable to some insurance scheme.
Right.
Not usually, but many times. So those are the things they look at right off the bat. But 9/11, well, yeah, I don't know. Do we even know the name of the guy who owned those buildings? Like, it's hard to even imagine there was a guy who owned those buildings. But there was. So yeah, at any rate, but beyond that, getting into 9/11 and into the weeds, like, are you more prone? Is this something that's evolved over time? This open-mindedness to not just take whatever we're being spoon-fed by the corporate-controlled media and look for other angles.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't know that it's something that... I mean, I don't know that it's something that's happened, like, immediately over time. Like, I think, for example, thinking that the moon landing was bullshit, I was on that before you were.
Yeah, right on.
I've always thought that the mob killed Kennedy.
That's true. That's true. You've had some great theories over the years that have blown my mind.
So, yeah. So, I've definitely been on that stuff before. And then, you know, if you read about, like, Operation Northwoods and stuff like that, like, it's really interesting. You think, you know, you look at things that happened years ago, whether it was World War One was started because of Franz Ferdinand or Operation Northwoods or Operation Paperclip. We learn about these things and then we kind of see some little holes in them. And our fault, not just you and me, but like mankind, we then just put a period on it. And
right.
I think that's where we fuck up. We go, oh yeah, back then that happened, period. And we always think, like, whenever you hear anyone discuss it, like, once it's put into, like, this nice, tightly packaged, like, history's mysteries, Operation Northwoods, and they, like, spell something out on TV, there's always this nice little period at the end of it, and it kind of gets us to think, like, gets the viewer to think, like, oh, that happened back then. And we don't seem to think, like, because it could still happen now. In the same way, like, everyone was always freaking out when George W. was in office. Like, oh, they're reading all of our emails and they're spying and blah, blah, blah. And then Obama comes in and pays a lip service that this stuff isn't happening anymore. And I don't care who's in office. It is always happening. They will never, like Snowden, I don't look at it as an enemy, but I don't look at it as a hero. The guy threw away his life, giving out information that everybody should have known anyway. Like, who... Real... Honestly, what adult over the age of 30, 35, where you really have to... You can't get away with not thinking for yourself anymore. Like, mom and dad aren't going to save you. Like, once you get to that point in your life, like, what thinking adult doesn't believe that you're still being monitored, your emails are still being read, or they're at least available to be read, because someone stands in front of some podium and says, we're not doing that anymore, we're more forthright. Like, even even when Obama was in office, was it like, we were busted for spying on Angela Merkel, and then Obama makes this big speech, and then like a week later, we got busted like spying on her again. Like, and then I guarantee you, he just went to some back room and was like, guys!
What are you doing? I'm out here saying this thing!
Well, no, keep spying, but fuck! Get it together!
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's
right.
Never gonna stop.
Well, which is why I was laughing all these months over this Russia thing. It's like, oh, because we've never meddled in any other country's affairs. Like, really?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We've, like, started rebellion.
And no other country's ever meddled in ours. Like, Israel doesn't spy on us. Is Jonathan Pollard, is that the Israeli spy's name that was in prison? Yeah, look up Jonathan Pollard. He still may be in the joint. Like, an Israeli spy spying on us. So, and they're our friends. So, everyone's spying on each other and their own people and each other's people.
Yeah. So I say all that to say, like, when I see someone getting really up in arms over this sort of thing, it's like, what do you think is going on?
Yeah, what's your emotional maturity level there and intelligence?
Right. So, can't you just put two and two together and assume that this will always happen and it will never, ever stop, no matter what law, proclamation.
Well, right. So you're painting a very bleak picture of our government, our own government. And although I'm taking it as bleak, maybe you're like, no, they spy on us for all sorts of reasons, and maybe some of them are legitimately good, like they are trying to prevent terrorism and find the next Stephen Pollock and a Paddock and so forth. Is that what you're saying? Or are you taking the darker, you know, no, our government is not our friend, which is my tack and many others?
I don't think our government is what many think it is, and what we were led to believe in school that it is. For example, I'll double back to the JFK mob deal. Mm. You know, no one ever talks about in schools that Jack Ruby was, you know, an underling for Sam Giancana. Now, it doesn't take a genius to put together that. By the time Kennedy got to office, Sam Giancana and the Kennedy family were at odds. And really, the Kennedy family, given their background, bootleggers, weren't at odds with many people in organized crime. So, when you find out that as the guy who supposedly shot Kennedy comes out of this room going, I don't know what's going on, I've been taken over, blah, 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 and he's like trying to get a message out. Then all of a sudden, one of Sam Giancana, though you were never told he was one of Sam Giancana's men in grammar school, comes out and guns him in the stomach and kills him on TV.
No, he was just a patriotic bar owner, Jones.
Exactly.
That's the way they always put it. It's so weird.
So once you see that happen, and once you put together that math, I think that's where I think you have to come away going, all right, the government isn't. And I don't know when the change really happened, but you get the Spanish-American War and yellow journalism and any of it, you really have to start to wonder, or accept. I don't even know if you wonder. I think you just have to accept that what you've been led to believe isn't what's there. This government and learning the Constitution. And learn the Constitution test. You take the Constitution test by eighth grade and blah, blah, blah. That thing that you learned isn't what's running the country as you think it is. You know, in terms of, like, private interests, nefarious interests. So I don't know that
Well, and look no further.
I guess you could say you can't trust the government.
Yeah, and look no further. You're giving the template. You're naming the template. Like they always need a patsy, and they always need a lone gunman patsy, and that patsy always ends up dead, because dead men tell no tales. And at first, you know, the story with this Paddock was, he was shot by police. Then it was, actually, he shot himself when he heard that we were coming. And it's like, well, which is it? I would think that I know the fog of war and stuff, but it's like, y'all didn't know if you stormed the room and shot him or he shot himself? Like, how did that get fucked up? Secondly, there was a security guard, did you know this, that I guess was shot on that floor and was seen running from police at one point? Who's that fucking person? Are they still alive? And what are they talking about right now? So, I got a lot of questions about this. There's a lot of people that could benefit from it. Michael Chertoff, allegedly. Four-star General Michael Hayden, allegedly. Unnamed corporate and government interests. I think it's fucked up that we have people serving in the government that can fucking, like, leave office, like Michael Chertoff, leave as Director of Homeland Security, and within a couple of years be running a company that is openly selling, you know, to the government, lobbying for contracts that are worth billions of dollars.
Right.
That's a fucking big problem. And anyone who's like, Trump's a fucking moron, it's like, yeah, and I don't know what he's doing about it, honestly, where I sit right now, but at one point, he put a moratorium, or wanted to put a moratorium in place, that if you were going to be part of his administration, you had to agree not to join any outside interests that would lobby the government for 5 years. Now, who knows? Maybe that was symbolic. Maybe it's bullshit. Maybe he fucking exempted Jared Kushner. I don't know. But I know that in theory, on paper, that's a good fucking idea. And we need more of that stuff. Because if you're Michael Chertoff right now, getting fucking bashed, and you really were like a good guy, like, you'd think you'd be like, oh, that sucks. I'm being fucking accused of some horrible crime like this. But, you know, you also didn't take a job selling insurance either, dude, I notice. So that's pretty weird. And this revolving door of Goldman Sachs people coming over and running the Treasury and then going right back to Goldman Sachs after making rules and laws and policies that impacted Goldman Sachs the whole time they were in government. Like, there's a lot of open, blatant issues like that. And hey, on 9/11, and it's really the only reason why I brought it up, was on 9/11, that day they were talking about Osama bin Laden. That day. So the things that they were saying that day of this time around, I think it's worthwhile to note what they were saying. So if they were already talking about, you know, bump stocks, it's very easy to get bump stocks to convert an ordinary rifle into an automatic rifle. They were already talking about YouTube tutorials that can show you how to do those things. They were already telling you, we're going to clamp down on information, we're going to clamp down on, like, ordinary supplies that in and of themselves really aren't that big of a deal, and they were saying we need more metal detectors everywhere throughout society. They were saying that the day of this attack. So I'm saying we should listen to them.
No, I do agree with that.
They know that fucking all eyes and ears are on this story, so now is when we should start floating and conditioning you for what's going to happen next and what we want you to accept next. And we just got done having them condition us for a year now that there's this thing called fake news. And the internet is filled with bad, evil information that should not be shared and shown. And now we have this. And so what are some of the news stories that are coming out of this story? They are, conspiracy theorists are everywhere, latching on to crazy conspiracies regarding this Paddock fellow. And it's like, yeah, I've seen some weird shit. I've seen some theories that they had a 50 cal gun on a helicopter like a mile away that actually did the firing, and they faked with strobe lights and sound effects the shooting out of the Mandalay Bay. Like, I've seen some whack shit. I think it's more likely that this guy was a patsy and there were two other dudes in that room that did the actual shooting.
That's kind of what I believe. Now, do you believe he was... See, I don't think he was even in on part of the shooting. I don't know what his role would be, how, if he was a part of getting the guns up there, or what. But I believe, I almost really kind of believe he was taken out before, and then they went about their business.
Yeah, I think that he was like a high roller who was well known to Vegas. He books that room. I mean, it's easy enough to see, all right, which high roller is going to be there that weekend. That's the room we're going to take. I mean, it's not that hard to kind of piece together.
Yeah.
So, that's the way I feel about it. And really, like you like to say, what are you going to do about it? And the answer is nothing. I think it's good to tell people about this stuff. I kind of don't like that I'm looked at as a fucking wacko. But on the other hand, it's like, all right, I think it's about 2 to 5% of people are like me. And another 10% could warm up to these ideas, which is still pretty far away from doing anything about it. But I think that over decades of this kind of evangelization, we could start to make a dent in stopping some of these encroachments on our liberties and rights and so forth. I just fear, like, will it be too late by then, you know?
Dude, oh my God. So I'm on LSD, and there's all this traffic, and some dude in a truck was just like, and it's all backed up, and some dude was just like, fuck this, and he just took his SUV and just drove over the curb and just drove through the park to just get on, like, the inner drive.
What?
Yeah. And then, I mean, he's just driving down now. He's gone.
Dude, that's fucking brilliant. Who's gonna do anything about it?
No one.
Well, Jones, I'm sorry that it's horrible travesties and tragedies like this that have to bring us together and get on the same page from the conspiratorial side of things. But I'm glad to finally kind of see you at least trying on the tinfoil hat. I think you look good in it.